they're trying to body shame us.
Exactly. Shorts are not a bad thing.
No, never have been.
They're preferable, especially in desperate times like these.
Yeah, and in the appropriate climate. I mean, if you're walking around, you know, Minnesota in the middle of December wearing some shorts, then you might have some problems. But yeah.
Oh yeah. Anyway, hey, before we get started, both of our English teams are in major European finals, aren't they?
They certainly are.
Yes.
They certainly are, and yours better win.
I'm gonna be devastated. 97 points.
You and me both, buddy. You and me both.
97 points and no league title. Come on. I need a European Cup to make up for this.
Oh, don't fuck it up, please.
Yeah, you need this as badly as I do for obvious reasons. Considering your allegiance, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Playing Chelsea in the Europa League final doesn't feel as exciting, but, you know, it's a competition.
Yeah, it's something that you've never won.
It is a trophy, and trophies are trophies. Yeah. You know, I mean, as much as you can rationalize finishing in the top four, it don't feel as good.
Yes, and you get back into the Champions League with that win, of course, assuming you do find a way to get it done. Remember, Unai Emery is the Europa League king. One of them, like the Europa League prince, I suppose.
Yeah, he's pretty good at it. He's also pretty good at not winning away games, as we've seen in the past and this year.
Mm. That's true. Although, yeah, this is neutral ground, so technically away.
I guess, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that'll serve to his advantage.
And Liverpool haven't been all that amazing away from Anfield, so...
Yeah, I mean, that can often be the case. I mean, I feel like Liverpool shouldn't be as concerned. I mean, second consecutive year in the Champions League final. You don't have the shithousing of Sergio Ramos to contend with this year. I think it's looking pretty good.
Hope so. Famous last words.
Well, I mean, in the contest of who's a bigger bottler between Liverpool and Tottenham, it's going to be Tottenham.
Oh, gotta
be. Don't worry about it.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Right? That reputation needs to keep sticking. You know?
Well, I hope it does, so then we can bring up that tweet that said Spursy no longer applies to Tottenham.
Oh, please.
That's my main hope.
Yeah, you're going to be the first one on that at full time.
Smashing that retweet, yes.
Smash that retweet button. Well, let's move from England to Spain. Match day 37 of La Liga is complete, Rob. The penultimate whip around of the season. All games played on Sunday at 5:30 local time. 5:30 or 6:30? 5:30. So again, all 10 games kicking off at the same time on the second to last match day. We start at San Mamés, where Athletic beat Celta Vigo 3-1. Athletic in 7th. It looks like they are going to qualify for Europe. Amazingly, they were in the relegation zone in December, but Gasca Garitano has done a wonderful job since his appointment. Celta technically safe, but not entirely. Unless things go horribly wrong on the final match day, they're going to be safe. Leganés 0, Espanyol 2. Espanyol still have a very slim chance of getting into Europe, which is rare for them, as we are used to seeing them 10th, 11th, 12th. They're 9th right now, 3 points off 7th. Villarreal get a huge win over Eibar, 1-0. They are safe on 43 points. It took a while, but they're safe. They have won or drawn 5 of their last 6. Rayo Vallecano 1, Valladolid 2. Rayo already down. Valladolid securing safety with a late win. Rob, you're going to be happy about this next result. Girona 1, Levante 2. Levante come back at the very end. An 87th minute goal from Enes Bardi. And Girona almost certainly relegated.
It was kind of the battle of the two Atleti bogey teams.
Yes, I mean,
Levante
really
more in the past than currently. But
that's right.
Definitely two teams that have given us fits.
And unless we see a 6-goal turnaround on the final match day, Girona are down, surprisingly, considering...
Really surprisingly.
You said on the last podcast, and I was thinking the same thing, that Girona were Europa League contenders for a good chunk of last year. And this year they looked like a pretty safe bet to stay up as well, but everything has gone wrong there. They have the worst home record of any team in La Liga. They won just 3 of their 19 home games this season.
It just seems totally strange. I mean, I guess looking back on it in hindsight, it's understandable that you can't just have Christian Stuani score all of your goals the entire time you're in the top division.
Yeah,
but
turns out...
Yeah, a lot of their loans didn't work out either, which is a bit of an issue.
It turns out that's not a sustainable model.
And neither is playing Seydou Doumbia. Really good in FIFA 14, but not anymore.
Yes, so Girona, they are down. No more games at Montilivi for at least a year. Real Betis...
Oh, praise be.
Real Betis being Huesca 2-1. Huesca, of course, already down. Betis getting, I guess, something for their pride. They're firmly mid-table. Barcelona 2-0 winners over Getafe at Camp Nou. Surprisingly, not as vitriolic as could have been expected following what happened at Anfield last week. They do get the victory, though. Getafe, very damaging for their Champions League prospects, considering Valencia's 3-1 win over Alaves at Mestalla. Also a comeback win for Los Che. Valencia now in 4th, Getafe on 5th. Valencia have head-to-head. So unless something dramatic happens on the final day, it looks like Valencia are going to finish 4th again. Boo.
Yeah, seems like it. I mean, it's not exactly the sexy result.
No.
But in terms of talent, it's probably fairest.
Yeah, I don't want to see Valencia in the Champions League again, though, because you know they're just going to go out in the groups. Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Gross.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still pretty close in terms of goal difference as well. I mean, I'm not off the top of my head. I don't know what the head-to-head is, but...
Yeah, Valencia have the head-to-head, and they have a +1 difference in goal advantage, in goal difference.
Yeah, so it's close, and it'll be heartbreaking for Getafe if they don't make it. So
Valencia have Valladolid on the last day. That's at Valladolid. They're already safe. They don't have a whole lot to play for. Getafe have Villarreal at home. Villarreal are already safe. So who knows? There's still a chance if Valladolid can pull something more likely than not. There's still a chance that Getafe can get 4th, but that head-to-head advantage that Valencia have, is that's a big one.
Well, in fairness to Valencia, it's a pretty solid result they pulled out. I mean, coming off a loss at home, and they don't... I mean, I'm not saying this just as an Arsenal fan, but they don't often get beat by several goals at Mestalla. That doesn't normally happen. So it was an impressive bounce-back win for them.
Man, Aubameyang was brilliant, though, wasn't he?
He was brilliant. I mean, Arsenal would be nowhere without the strikers.
Golden Boot winner, or I guess co-winner, yes, of course.
Which kind of sucks, but, you know.
Finally, at Anoeta, Real Sociedad 3, Real Madrid 1. This is the saddest part of this season. It's not that Atletico didn't win anything but a Super Cup, but that we no longer get to see this iteration of Real Madrid play. That's really sad, because it's been glorious. It's been so glorious to see them, you know, crap themselves this year.
It's been beautiful. I mean, this game kind of had all of the things in it. I mean, you had the Brahim Diaz goal, the kind of like WTF signing of the season.
Yeah.
In La Liga, and Jesus Vallejo got sent off, who I still think is kind of pretty good, but it can just not stay on the field for love or money. And of course, we've all enjoyed the downfall of Courtois.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch, but sadly that comes to an end next week. They have lost 11 games in La Liga. Ugh, music to my ears.
Ah, man, it was really... They were pretty atrocious this season, and it was nice to watch.
Well, the one result we haven't talked about from Estadio Wanda Metropolitano, Atletico Madrid 1, Sevilla 1. Before we dive into Atletico, a word on Sevilla and what this result does for them. They really needed to win. They really needed to win this game, and they did not. They are on 56 points now, 2 points behind Valencia and Getafe in 4th and 5th, respectively. So, and they do not have the head-to-head over either of those teams, which is even more damaging for them. Sevilla have Athletic on the final match day. Athletic can still get into Europe, so that's going to be a very, very interesting game. Sevilla really had to have this one. They need a win, and Valencia and Getafe to lose to get 4th place. So it's more likely than not happening for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
which isn't a bad thing. I mean, I think Sevilla's level, based on their play this season, their level is the Europa League. It's going to be interesting to see what Monchi does in his first full window back. There's probably going to be a lot of comings and goings. They have to get a new coach in after they fired Machin for no real reason other than they lost the Europa League tie. But other than that, this is about Sevilla's level this season. And they didn't play badly on Sunday. I don't think either team played well. It wasn't a very good watch. This was not a very good game.
Yeah, and I don't think this Sevilla team is particularly good. I mean, I think in general they're pretty old. The heart of their team is, at least. And, I mean, Atleti had nothing to play for other than it being Godin's last home game. So, to pull out a draw against a team that needed a win, I guess, is fairly impressive in the circumstances.
Yeah, and Atletico, we talked about their strong home form, and they end the season with the joint best home record along with Barcelona. Picked up 48 points from 19 games at home. That's not too bad. And yeah, you mentioned Sevilla's age. You know, Jesus Navas obviously getting reps at 33 years old. Simon Kjaer is 30. Maxim Gonalon is 30. Rocky Mesa is about to turn 30. Mudo Vasquez is 30. So we kind of have the same problems, Sevilla and Atletico.
It is. I mean, two of the teams that have dominated in this kind of 20-teens era. In terms of European competitions, it's been, not so good. We'll see who does a better rebuild job.
And they also had Nolito. Remember Nolito? They had 32-year-old Nolito on their bench.
Man, Nolito was absolutely brilliant with Celta Vigo.
I remember that one season, the 1.5 years, 2014-15 and 2015-16, where he was brilliant. And I wanted him to come to Atletico.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he's a great right-footed player. I mean, beyond that, he's not so good. But he had that season in Man City, and that was it. He was done.
Yeah, that was a bad career choice.
Yeah, it didn't go so well. But
no, he got money.
They have a weird team, Sevilla. I mean, they have a weird mishmash of players.
You know, I would sign Ben Yedder, given the chance. I really like him. I think he's obviously cut out for Champions League football. I think he's really a high quality player. But Pablo Sarabia as well. I love Sarabia, and he scored the equalizer in this game.
It's true. I mean, I'm not hugely in love with Sevilla's team, and perhaps some of that comes from my Vitolo hesitance now.
Yes.
Yeah. Which wasn't necessarily the best signing. I mean, even Ben Yedder's 28 years old. He's getting up there as well.
Vitolo, by the way, who, of course, did not play in this game because, you know, you have nothing to play for. Why not give Vitolo a run out? What's the point in that?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get it, man. I still don't get it. But it's not for me to get.
I don't know what went wrong there. Well, I mean, what really went wrong there?
Well, the injuries didn't help. You got to think on some level. I'm not a very spiritual person, but I do believe in karma. I think this is kind of karmic in a way for how he left Sevilla in the lurch and how he left them having done everything but sign a new contract with them. This is kind of karma, I suppose, in a way.
Yeah, and with that loan to Las Palmas in the first half of the season, it just was abysmal.
Yeah, he wasn't good. The team was terrible, though. It didn't help matters. And then he got hurt in that last month. And he never really... He got some time toward the end of last season where he played very well. This season got off to a good start in the Super Cup. Then he got hurt again. He was out for, 8 weeks? And it's been he's been fit ever since then, really. But I think he's had, one injury since then. But he's been fit for the most part. Still hasn't been able to consistently carve out any kind of role, whether it's as a sub every week or as a starter.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you the last time he started in matches or consecutive weeks.
I think he started one game this year. It was against Leganés when Atleti were trying to go get a result in Turin.
Yeah, which is just shameful considering the amount of money that the club paid for him.
Yeah, that was the last time he started. He's made 5 starts in La Liga this year. The last one was that win over Eibar 3 weeks ago.
And I don't mean to bring up a bad subject here, but would it have not just been the better decision to keep Carrasco around, who is younger and did more
at least
in his athletic career?
At least more explosive. definitely.
More explosive, and, I mean, he scored a Champions League final, for God's sake. And he had one prolific season at Atleti, and we've talked about Carrasco ad nauseum. But, you know, I would take him over Vitolo at this point.
I think Vitolo is another case of signing a player 2 years too late, a year or two late.
Yep, totally right.
I think Atletico mistimed it, and now he's not what he used to be, and he has... We're going to talk about him when the season officially ends next week. We'll go more in depth, but I don't know where his future lies. I don't really know what... We've mentioned this before. I don't really know what value Vitolo has, like, in terms of financial or playing value. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, I think Atleti would be fortunate to get 10 million euros for him at this point, which is kind of sad. It's like... The investment Atleti made on him, well, I mean, they'll be getting pennies on the euro back.
Yeah. Yes, they will. Santiarias didn't play either. There's an issue there that we'll get to later in the show, but
yes.
This isn't about Vitolo or Santiarias. It's all about Diego Godin. In case you've been under a rock for the past week, Godin announced that he will be leaving Atletico over the summer. About 99.9% certain he's going to end up at Inter Milan on a 3-year contract where he's going to play till he's probably 46 years old.
Yeah.
He will last forever in Serie A. My God.
I mean, he probably will play till he's 40.
He's going to last forever. He's going to do great at Inter, and I'm going to be excited to watch him next year. But he confirmed his departure. He's going to end a frankly legendary Atletico career. With 389 appearances, assuming he plays next week, 8 trophies, the captaincy, a league-winning goal, a goal that should have won a European Cup as well, if not for Bjorn Kuipers and Sergio Ramos, but we don't have to rehash that. Godin ends his career at Atletico as probably the greatest center back the team's ever had.
Yeah, I don't think there's really any doubt. Especially, I mean, certainly in the modern era. He's been unbelievable. I mean, in terms of representing what this Diego Simeone transformation of the team was about. I mean, in a low-key player that had been at Villarreal, who at that time were not even, I mean, who were kind of coming out of their best period. Unreal. No one will ever forget that goal. I mean, if you're looking back on it now, that season in 13-14, his goal scoring was off the charts for a center back.
Yeah, you know what? Even if Godin had never done anything else of note in his Atleti career, he would have been a legend just for scoring that goal.
Oh, he could have retired after that.
Yeah, just like we still remember Miranda for scoring in the Copa del Rey final at the Bernabeu.
Right. Also, who will be his new partner, presumably.
Presumably, or Skriniar.
Well, yeah, Skriniar is a little bit better.
A little bit better than Miranda is now. Yeah,
yeah, he's not so bad.
No, but this was Godin's final home match. He had a decent game, I'd say. Again, it was not a very good game, and it's a late season game, so the quality of play was kind of sloppy. Atleti got the first goal on 30 minutes, a really kind of bad goal. Koke steps up from outside the box, just kind of waits, pulls up. Okay, I'll shoot. Deflects off Simon Kjaer and leaves Vasilić just flat-footed. It rolls into the goal. Pablo Sarabia scored 40 minutes later on a Felipe Luis error and a deflection off Javi Montero. That was really about it. There were a lot of yellow cards, too, but that was really about it. This wasn't so much about the game as it was the player the game honored.
Yeah, I mean, for Atleti, there was nothing to play for other than the pride of Diego Godin. That was about it.
And he had a wonderful sending-off ceremony.
He did.
Yeah, presented with all the trophies he's won. Ceremonially. Is that ceremonially? I think that's a word. Yes.
I think so.
Symbolically, rather. Symbolically handed over the captain's band to Koke, who's going to be the next captain as of next season. Koke almost brought me to tears, saying, it's been wonderful 9 years. I love you, my brother. Like, oh my God, my sons. They're so cute together. And then Godin gave a little speech saying, essentially, Godin, the footballer, is leaving, but I'm now one more fan. that's kind of in essence what Godin said when he got handed the mic, and everyone was crying. Griezmann was crying both in midweek and at the weekend. Cholo was emotional. It was just a wonderful ceremony for a wonderful player. And of course, he ended it all by exchanging jerseys with one of the fans who gave him a throwback with the old badge on it. I think I read in Marca today that was the 91-92 Atleti home jersey with the old badge on it.
Yes, it certainly is. I mean, I think that may have been a slightly more politically loaded gesture than
just a little bit.
But it was nice to see him in that kit. It is a beautiful kit.
Yeah, just a little bit political there.
Just a little bit of a message to the club, perhaps, because that is certainly still a thing.
The club's never going to listen to.
No. Because money.
But I think it's hard to sum up in a phrase. I guess that's not true. You can sum up Godin in a way by saying goal at Camp Nou. You can say that and everyone will understand what you mean. But Godin is a lot more than that. A true leader, a true icon of this club who has literally bled several times over defending that shirt. Really the epitome of Cholo along with Gabby on the field. Gabby also, of course, dearly departed last year. Those were really his two lieutenants on the field, embodied everything about Cholismo and the Simeone way, and he's going to be dearly, dearly missed, while at the same time you can acknowledge that this is perhaps the right time for him to move on.
Yeah, I think it's the right time, but you bring up Gabby, and I think, I don't know, it's still kind of annoying to me that the whole Qatar thing happened with Gabby after the season, and there wasn't really a proper goodbye to him until after he had gone. Right, so it feels better that we've gotten this with Godin in that way. So, I don't know. I mean, in some ways, I feel like I'm making it up in my head, but I'm hoping it's kind of like a transformation of this team from one era to another, but we've been hoping that for several years now.
It might finally be time, you know, with Godin leaving, he follows Gabby and Torres out the door, probably Juan Fran and Felipe Luis later this summer. That truly is the end of an era. And Koke is going to be the last one out the door whenever that happens. Hopefully not for several more years.
Probably about 10 years, maybe.
Yeah, if he has any legs left by then.
Yeah, it depends if Simeone is still the manager.
Yeah, perhaps. But overall, again, the game doesn't so much matter. I mean, it was not a very good watch, not a very good game. Atleti rang up 1.5 expected goals. Sevilla rang up 0.7 expected goals. The best chance was Morata's right before halftime when he had a bullet header. He had the bullet header saved early in the first half. Then he had a block like in the six-yard box right before halftime. Those two chances alone were worth over one expected goal for Morata.
I do appreciate on the expected goals chart the Saul shot from
million
miles away.
Yes, I saw that. That's so funny. And Koke's goal was worth 0.3 expected goals. So was Sarabia's. So two really poor chances ended up in the goals.
In fairness to Koke, he did run all the way from his own half.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Rodri kind of laid it off for him, and Koke just took off and said, "All right, I'll shoot. That's fine."
Yeah, he was at the midway point of his own half, and then just kind of jogged his way up the pitch. It was a little bit of lazy defending, I would say.
All right, let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. Second to last game of the season. Nah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, those two Morata chances, though, worth 1.08 expected goals. That shot that was blocked in the six-yard box, and then the one that was saved. Two really big chances that Atleti could have won the game with, but it doesn't really matter. Atleti needed 1 point to clinch second place, and that's what they did. And yeah, there wasn't really a whole lot else that mattered. Felipe committing that error, missing his header right before the Sarabia goal, also kind of sums up what's happened to Felipe. Also a club legend, but time for him to leave too.
Yeah, I mean, certainly I think in the order of the three guys that are leaving this summer, Godin is certainly the most legendary, followed by Juan Fran and then Felipe, just because Felipe had the little affair with Chelsea.
A little loan to Chelsea for a year.
Yeah,
because we really had to play Guillermo Sequeira that year.
Yeah, exactly.
Really had to give him reps.
You made us do that. You made us watch that.
And Christian Ansaldi too.
Yeah, exactly. This is your
that's his fault. Wow.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. I mean, I'm really hoping they both go, but I mean now looking at the squad this summer, it's like there's a lot of potential outgoings on the board here.
Well, the report earlier today on Spanish radio on SER says that Felipe and Juanfran are both leaving in the summer. Juanfran was offered a new contract but turned it down. Felipe was never even offered one.
That sounds about right to me, actually.
Yeah.
Considering both how the season went and kind of how Diego Simeone operates.
Yeah, I think Felipe's little flirtation with PSG kind of ruined any chances he would have had at getting a new contract. And Juanfran's been living on year-to-year contracts for 3 years now, right? 2-3 years now?
Yep.
So it makes sense that he would want a little more security. Someone in mid-table will pick him up if he wants to stay in Spain.
My thoughts exactly. I think he'll stay in Spain and go to a mid to lower tier team and then just play with them for a couple of years. I mean, I don't think he has too many years left, either of them, really.
No, assuming he does leave, this could change because he is Juanfran and he's been around forever.
Yes.
Could still change, but it looks like those guys are leaving as well. You have Godin going out. It's going to be, as we have hinted at before on this very program, it's going to be a summer of change. There's going to be a lot of rumors, perhaps a lot of incomings, even, and some outgoings as well.
I think so. I mean, we know the obvious outgoings, but I feel like there's going to be one that comes out of nowhere on us. But I don't know. I feel somewhat better in the fact that a lot of the old guys are leaving, more comfortable that Rodri will stay, which is basically my only goal for the summer now that Oblak has been re-signed.
What, you don't want to trade Rodri for Nicolas Otamendi? Really?
Oh, God, help us.
You don't want to do that? Come on, Rob.
Oh, no. Oh, man. I mean, genuinely, it's like Rodri is just the national secret that we have to keep quiet because he is so good. We cannot let the other teams figure out how good he is.
No, he's precious.
Yes, and he must stay.
I mentioned Santiarias earlier. This is probably as good a time as ever to talk about him. He didn't play in this game. Reports are that Cholo has soured on him already and wants him to leave. Napoli are interested in him. He has a release clause of $40 million, and the phrase Marca used was he's on the exit ramp, which is a very Spanish way of saying he's on his way out of the club after one season. That doesn't sound great, does it?
It doesn't sound great, and it doesn't really make sense
to
me.
It doesn't.
I mean, he's had a really solid year, I think, and I mean, he's contributed quite frequently. He's an older player, so I don't quite understand where the hesitation is with Simeone.
He hasn't been great defensively, but he hasn't been a liability. That was the concern about him coming from the Netherlands, is that Eredivisie is not a league that's known for its defenders. Like, unless your name is De Ligt, you're not really known as a strong defensive defender. Arias kind of had that reputation coming over, and he's acquitted himself, I think, rather well, honestly, given the expectations. And he's been really solid in attack, a little less consistent of late, but, you know, Juanfran's been playing over him for the past month. That's really not good, and it looks like he's going to follow the same path that Jaime Rusalco followed. Arias is now going to follow that, and listen, someone's got to take over at right back at some point, right? And his name is not Tomas Partey. Someone's got to take over at right back.
Well, and of course, Rusalco is going to be coming back this summer.
Yeah.
So
that's
what happens there.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. He's injured. He's going to be out till October or November with his knee injury. Inter don't want him because he's hurt. He has no use for them. He's more likely than not going to come back to Madrid.
I think so. And man. I mean, it's like you have Juanfran, who's the total offensive liability, and Arias, who, okay, he's got some weaknesses defensively, but in the modern game, you'd much prefer a defensive liability if they're going to offer you something going forward, like Arias does.
It's very strange, and perhaps there was some training ground issues we don't know about, which, you know, that's a possibility. I mean, Cholo has shipped off players before because they didn't get along, most notably Mario Mandzukic a few years back. But yeah, it seems rather strange to give up on Arias after one season and no clear successor at right back. It seems very strange and probably a little short-sighted, at least in my estimation.
In a summer where you have to change a lot of things anyway, it doesn't really make sense to get rid of one of the only good signings you've made in the last few years. I mean, I thought Arias was going to be kind of a bust when he came over, just because we didn't really know that much about him. But he's been quality. So I don't understand the urgency to move on.
And considering the price that Letty got him for, too, he came over for $11 million
for
PSV.
That's right.
And that's a bargain.
Yeah, for a player in their prime.
$11 million for a guy who, you know, is a starter in his national team, was like the league's player of the year last year as well. And he won three league titles there. It's very strange.
So I certainly hope that rumor is not true, but I could certainly see it being the case, given what we know about Simeone.
And Atleti will never say no to an opportunity to turn a profit.
Certainly. We saw that with Johnny this season, which still annoys me quite a lot.
Yeah, it definitely rankles me too, considering where the team's defense is now. That was an extraordinarily short-sighted move. It brought Atleti Morata, and Morata's been good, but I don't think he had to sacrifice Johnny for that to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess we won't know what the financial status of the club is. I mean, and who knows even if the Morata deal is going to be made permanent in the summer. One would hope, but who knows?
Oh, God, if that doesn't happen, then, oh, man. All of this was for nothing.
Right, but you could see it happening.
Yeah, there's a part of me that could see it happening. Because I know what club we're talking about.
I mean, I think Morata has been really good. He's been kind of quiet the last couple weeks, but I think in general he's been a positive for this team, and I think Simeone really likes him.
Well, if Atleti have a chance to like triple their purchasing price. You know, you bought him for $11 million, sell him for $30 million. I think they'll do it if they have that chance.
Yeah.
I think they'll do it.
Yeah, probably so.
And they might regret it, because Arias has been quality. I don't really have many issues with how he's played this season.
And it's not easy to find good fullbacks. I mean, it's really not. And to find a guy like Arias who just fit in right away at Atleti, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Just don't lose Rodri and it'll be a good summer.
That's all we want. That is all we want.
Yeah, just that'll be good with me. Cope had a report out this evening about Atleti's summer plans, kind of transitioning into that a little bit. You're going to be surprised, Rob. It's very Porto-centric.
I wonder why that is the case.
The plan is to sign half of Porto, half of FC Porto. Deals with Felipe Montero and Hector Herrera are reportedly done. The deal for Alex Telles is very advanced. Alex Grimaldo of Benfica is his backup. So why don't we just like raid the entire Portuguese league?
Oh, God. it makes me nervous.
And also, if Costa or Griezmann leave, Edinson Cavani is one of the top targets.
Great. That sounds like a bunch of guys that are all over the age of 25.
Awesome. Another old striker. Cool.
A bunch of more old guys coming to our team. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cavani, who's been great in Ligue 1, which it happens also to be a farmers league, he's 32.
Yeah, I mean, and also happens to have not really played that much this year.
Yeah, he's because of injuries. That, again, great sign.
Yes. I mean, I think Cavani's brilliant and kind of gets a bad rap for being a misser of good chances. But
he does.
Yeah, at age 32, I think I'm good.
Yeah, need to be going younger than that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, but nah, not right now.
On that, the rumor front, there have been various reports. I wrote about them today regarding the future of one Antoine Griezmann. Now, Rob, this is not new. We've done many, many podcasts and many articles in the past couple years about this guy and his potential exit, but this might actually be happening. Reports are in France and in Spain that he's agreed to a contract with Barcelona, that he's set to move. There's going to be a meeting tomorrow, Tuesday, regarding his future, and Atleti's club wants a final, the club hierarchy wants a final answer out of him.
Oh, God. I mean, the last thing I wanted this summer was another transfer saga. I mean, I really don't care whether he stays or he goes, just so long as it happens quickly, which seems like is the opposite of what's going to happen no matter what. But I don't know. I mean, if Barcelona want to spunk a bunch of money on him, then fine. But I don't know. I don't buy it. This time, I feel more confident about it not happening. I don't know. The whole Godin thing kind of made me feel like that wasn't a possibility.
Well, the indication from the report, which was on SCR, one of their very popular programs, El Larguero, last night, said that Godin's departure is a prime reason why Griezmann now wants to leave. Lucas's transfer to Bayern as well, not helping matters. He's willing to take a pay cut to join Barcelona. And, yeah, apparently he's agreed a deal. His release clause drops to $120 million from $200 million, which kind of indicates to you he never was that serious about honoring his contract. But that's okay.
Right.
This is football. Their loyalty doesn't really exist in this sport.
I mean, we're talking about, I mean, on this, throughout the year, I mean, considering that Godin is already gone and Lucas is already gone, those are two guarantees, but when we're talking about a vast majority of the squad potentially leaving this summer.
In one summer.
One summer. And you really, in an ideal world, you don't want to bring in too many players. I mean, I know this is a different league, but if you look at Fulham, they brought in a ton of players for a ton of money, and it doesn't work when you have to bring in a bunch of guys in one summer.
I think I have a couple thoughts on that. In a vacuum, Griezmann leaving is fine. Like, dude, just go.
Yes.
We've been talking about this for three seasons now. Just go. Right? He had a deal in place with Man United. Like, that was confirmed to me that he had a deal in place with Man United 2 years ago. Last year, he put on a whole documentary and a song and dance about not going to Barcelona. Now it's apparently done. He's going to go to Barcelona. Just leave, man. Like, he's 28 now. His prime probably isn't going to last much longer than two more years, probably. There's no doubt of his quality. There's no doubt how good a player he is, but enough already. I think for Atleti to truly move on, they need to move on from Griezmann. I mean, the biggest trophy they have won with him is the Europa League. And he's been at Atleti for 5 years.
And, I mean, there's no need to bring up the thing that he screwed up in 2015, but that did happen, or 2016, but that did happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wouldn't be heartbroken if he left, put it that way.
No, I wouldn't be either. And Atleti would make a profit on him, technically. Actually, more than technically, they make a 90
big
million.
Time.
They make a 90 million euro profit on him.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the sense. I get a little bit of a sense that 120 million is a little cheap for him.
I suppose. I mean, I guess it depends on what you subscribe to as the market value. I mean, in my opinion, if I had the choice between getting 100 plus million for either Griezmann or Saul, I would take it for Griezmann and let him go. I think that may be one of the choices that Atleti have to make this summer, because they could get a lot of money for several players, but it just depends on who they think they could lose the most.
Yeah, in a vacuum, I don't really terribly mind Griezmann leaving. The club has done well with him. There was life before him, and there's going to be life after him. They've done well, but they didn't make much progress this year. It's been a very disappointing season overall. The other side of that coin is this is another huge departure. In a summer that sees Atleti lose four defenders, It's going to see them lose one of those midfielders more likely than not. And now it's going to see them lose at least one, possibly two forwards. That is a lot. As you said, that is a lot to replace if this does happen. Which I think to me it's a coin flip right now whether Griezmann leaves or not. It's a lot to replace. It's a lot.
And it's not ideal.
It can't be done in one summer. I don't think it can be done in one
summer. Squad renovation in one summer. I don't think so. I would think it would have to be done over 2 years, which sets Atleti back a year.
Again, it sets them back another year.
In terms of Atleti's financial status, they can handle that.
Yeah, and they've already taken a step back this year.
Yeah.
You know, they finished second in the league again, but we don't need to go into the Champions League exit. And they got knocked out of the Copa del Rey by a team that's going to be in Segunda next year.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at last summer, and it's like, did really any of those signings work?
Rodri.
Other than really.
Rodri, that's it.
Yeah, and I mean, that was done months beforehand.
Right.
I mean, I guess you could say Morata, but that, and then that was mid-season. But, it's going to be a tough summer, and I think there's going to be a lot of changes. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see who goes. It'll be interesting to see on this last day of the season if we get information on Felipe or on Fran.
Yeah, it might be too much change. Like, for a couple years, I wouldn't say complained, but we did kind of complain, didn't we? We complained about Atleti not making enough changes, preferring like small tweaks to more, not risky, but more bolder moves. This is the summer where they might overcompensate for 2-3 summers of not really doing much. This is going to overcompensate for that. There's going to be a lot of movement this summer, and it might not all be good. There is such a thing as too much change.
Well, I mean, and at the same time, we also had the transfer ban that went on that kind of delayed Atleti's progress for a whole summer. And I mean, I realized there were Vitolo and Diego Costa signed in that summer.
Yeah, and what did they get out of that summer? They got Vitolo, who has really barely made his mark, and Costa, who has been a train wreck.
Yeah, and I mean, neither of those signings have worked. They're both really expensive, and they set Atleti back.
Yeah, so there is not comfort, but there is some sense of excitement about the unknown, but there's also a sense of dread for, that may be a little extreme, but dread about what's going to happen this summer.
No, I mean, I think it's totally fair. And I mean, it's not just next summer, but it's next season, really, because the reality of the situation is that Atleti have to finish in the top four every season to keep being competitive.
Yeah, that's
and
the financial reality.
If a big summer of change screws things up and they finish 10th, then that's a big issue.
Like, the financial reality of the situation is they have to be top three and they have to win a Champions League knockout round every year.
Yes.
That's basically the baseline, if you will. The club, Hilmarin, the club CEO, set that out a few years ago, and Atleti have not won a Champions League knockout round in 2 years. Now, they won Europa League last year, and that brought in a little bit of money, but they got nothing out of it this year by losing to Juventus. And they have to handle this very, very delicately, because you cannot have another year of setbacks. Gotta keep progressing.
You can't miss
somehow
on these transfers this summer. You really can't.
Gotta keep progressing somehow. And yeah, that's a good point. Based on Atleti's track record in recent summers, it's not terribly encouraging. I mean, they might get it right. Who knows? But it's not tremendously encouraging based on what's happened the past few years.
I mean, it just seems like they're going for more of the same based on who the guys that have been linked to the club. It's guys in their mid to late 20s. Who are playing in not top five leagues that are available for cheap. And I get it, because they're cheap, but they're also old. So you're not really going to get any return on that investment, even if they work out.
Right, like, that was the first model of Cholo's teams, like the one that won La Liga. That was built primarily around players in their late 20s acquired on bargain deals or brought up through the academy. That Atleti team won the league on essentially a shoestring budget, which remains a miraculous achievement winning La Liga in a year with prime Messi and prime Ronaldo.
Well, and Atletico was so broke that season, yes. too. I mean, that's the thing. It's nowhere near the same situation now.
Yeah, they kind of lucked into getting David Villa on a 5 million euro deal. They lucked into that.
Oh, my God.
There isn't that deal out there, as you know, as far as the reporting goes. There is no deal out there unless something crazy pops up, like David Villa did that summer. They're trying to catch lightning in a bottle again, and I'm not as optimistic as they might be.
I still kind of sit back and marvel at that David Villa signing because it was just so ridiculous. Granted, that summer they did also sign Joshua Gilavogi for double the price of David Villa, which is just classic Atleti.
Yep.
That worked out real well.
And we had Toby Alderweireld for one season.
Yeah, that happened. And he was there.
Yeah.
He didn't turn out to be anything, did he?
Yeah, he couldn't get on the pitch because of Godina Miranda. He couldn't get on the pitch. And still, he scored the goal against Malaga that almost won them the league.
It's true. That goal
That goal nearly won them La Liga. Before we go, though, a note on Atletico Femenino. We mentioned how they won a third straight league title last week. They were going for their first ever League Cup double over the weekend and didn't quite work out. They lost the Copa de la Reina final 2-1 to Real Sociedad. So no double this season, but still fantastic year as they won a third straight league title. Overall, pretty good stuff.
Unbelievable achievement again. I mean, three league titles in a row is about all you can ask for, really. We'll see how they do again in the Champions League. They've not had the greatest of times in the European competition.
Oh, they've been pounded the last 2 years. Didn't Wolfsburg beat them by like 15 goals to 2? It was.
I believe that they did. Yes.
It was something really.
Yeah,
really
they've been not so good in that. But hopefully some progress there. But yeah, three league titles in a row is an incredible achievement.
Yeah, so still an awesome year for them. And the Barcelona team they finished ahead of are in the Women's Champions League final. So pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, very good. Very good stuff.
All right, well, we have been going for 47 minutes. That's about 20 more than I intended. But this was good. This was good. We had a little bit of a therapy session here with Godin moving on. Still very emotional about that. Overall, good stuff. Atleti's season finale, the highly anticipated season finale, that is next Saturday at Levante. Levante are safe. They have really nothing to play for. Atletico have nothing to play for either. That is a noon kickoff in Spain, which is 3 a.m. my time on Saturday. Yay. Why? Just why? Why?
That is not ideal.
Why?
That is really not ideal.
To get up at 3 a.m. to watch this game that means nothing.
It really means absolutely nothing.
I'm not sure if I can do it.
Well, I think you could be forgiven. Just so long as you hope for the Hawks to get the number one pick tomorrow.
I can root for that. Yeah. I suppose I can. I don't really care where Zion lands. Well, I'd rather it not be Cleveland. They've had enough luck.
Yeah, they've had too much luck. We want luck.
Yeah, I'd rather not Cleveland. I'd rather not New York. I don't really care for the Knicks. But yeah, Atlanta could be fun.
Yeah.
Pair them with Trae Young, that'd be fun.
Yeah, see, you know, we have a real team, you know.
Yeah, you guys
enjoy it.
You guys had a good year. I mean, for a rebuilding team, you guys had a good year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever. It's the NBA. It's the Atlanta team I care the least about.
Yes.
But just long, let's hope for some excitement.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. All right. Well, on that note, Rob, we're going to sign off. Thank you so much for joining me as ever on this edition of Colchonero Chat.
Always a pleasure.
Follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter as well at jbbaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. You can also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this very program, Colchonero Chat, on your podcasting platform of choice, including Apple Podcasts, and become a Colchonero Chat amigo at patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. We do bonus pods. We're going to be doing a lot of them over the summer. rumor roundups, international affairs desk. We're going to be doing them because we will have nothing much else to talk about. Patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. From as little as $3 a month, you can get access to all the bonus goodies. And on that note, we're done. We'll be back next week to wrap up Atleti's season, begin our end of season review. You're not going to want to miss it. Until then, adios.